Okay, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Masech Sanhedrin. Today's daf is Sanhedrin Daf Beis. We are holding at the very beginning of Masech Sanhedrin. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Eileen Lishmas, his mother, Golda Bar Simcha Da Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha, for our soldiers and our captives, they should return home safely. Also sponsored by the Sifs and the Pomerantzes, in honor of their granddaughter, Chana Eliza, daughter of Rav Chaim Tuvia and Rina Bracha Sif, who was born on the first day of Sukkot. Mazel tov. They waited this long because they wanted a more cheerful daf, not one all about Yerusha. He told me not to announce that, but I thought that was, we wish the Sifs and the Pomerantzes a mazel tov and much, much nachas from their granddaughter, Chana Eliza. It's also sponsored by Shmuel Bulka for Refu Shlema for Shimon Moshe Ben Brindle. He shav Refu Shlema B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. And it's also sponsored by the Psachim Boys, a chavrusa of three Talmidim from BMT. It doesn't say this, but I'll add from 30 years ago, who thank the Shir for keeping them together on the glorious march toward finishing this cycle of Daf. They made it through the Bavas and now on to Sanhedrin, Halavai Vaiter in good health. So we thank all the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. What we're going to discuss today is there's only one Mishnah in the first parak of Masech Sanhedrin. You get the impression that whoever arranged the Vilna Shas just forgot to split up the Mishnayos, meaning it's in the Mishnayos, it's more than one Mishnah. It's just the way it appears over here. It's all, so the whole Amud Aleph and going into Amud Beis is the Mishnah, is the only Mishnah in the first parak of Masech Sanhedrin, and then we'll have all the Gemaras going back on this one Mishnah, and the Mishnah is going to talk about two basic topics. First, the majority of the Mishnah is just going to talk about how many Dayanim are needed for different types of cases that Beis Din deals with. When do you need a Beis Din of 3? When do you need a Beis Din of 23? And when do you need the Sanhedrin HaGadol? And then the Gemara is going to discuss, the Mishnah rather is going to discuss the sources for the number of judges on the two types of Sanhedrin. That a Sanhedrin Ketana requires 23. Where do we see that? It doesn't say that explicitly in the Torah anywhere. And where do we know that Sanhedrin, how big Taka is a Sanhedrin HaGadol? Is it 70 or 71? And where do we learn that from? That seems to be a little bit more explicit in the Chumash itself. And at the very end of the Mishnah, the Mishnah is going to have a short machlokas about how large of a city warrants its own Sanhedrin. If every city is going to have a Sanhedrin, what qualifies as a city? Then the Gemara is going to explain the redundancy in the first line of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is going to say Dina Mamnus B'Shlosha and then Gzeilus V'Chavalus B'Shlosha. That seems to be repetitive. Gzeilus V'Chavalus seem to be an example of Dine Mamunus, and the Gemara is going to explain that it's coming to exclude Hoda'os Vehalva'os, and we're going to try to explain why we're excluding Hoda'os Vehalva'os. Don't those cases also need 3 Dayanim? And so that's going to be today's daf. So just to give a basic overview of Masech Sanhedrin, so first of all, the first Tosos discusses why it is that we are learning Masech Sanhedrin now. Masech Sanhedrin, as the name suggests, deals primarily with Batei Din. So Tosus writes, Acher Shoshana Dinim Bitlasa, B'tlasa Babi Mashmienu Bekama Danim Osam. Once we learn all of the dinim in the first in Bekama B'Metzia B'Basra, we know all the halachos of dinim amnus. Now we have to figure out how do we implement all those halachos of the dinim amnus. So that's why we have Masech Sanhedrin. Tosa Rosh just adds that there's always a connection between the last Mishnayos in the previous Masechta with the opening Mishnayos of the following Masechta. So he points out that at the end of Abbasra and Kufay and Heyam and Beis, we said, V'arotze sheyachkim yasok b'dine mominis, she'en l'chamik tzob b'tori yosr mehen, ve'en kemayin anoveya. That if a person wants to become a chacham, he should be osek in dine mominis. And therefore, it's no coincidence that the next Masechta starts with the words, Dine Mamanis, because we're connecting to that chachma that was alluded to in the Mishnah in the end of Masechta Babasra. Now, the topics that are covered in this Masechta are primarily 6 topics. We have the halachos of Dayanim that are going to be covered in this Masechta. That's the first parak, the third parak, the fourth parak. We have halachos of Eidos, which comes up in the third parak and the fifth parak. We have halachos of Ibur Shanim, Ibur HaShanim, which is in the first parak, where we're going to talk about when we are Ma'aber Shanim, when we add on a month to a year. We have the halachos of a Kohen Gadol and a Melech, which is the second parak of Maseches Sanhedrin, the dinim relating to a Kohen Gadol and to a Melech. And then we have all the halachos of the Dalin Misos Beis Din. That appears in the 6th, 7th, 9th, and 10th Prakim. All the halachos of Dalin Misos Beis Din, which Averos warrant the Dalin Misos Beis Din as well. And then the final topic is any Misa that's also not Al Yedei Beis Din, because there are plenty of Misos that you have Kanoim Pogimbo, you have Baba Machteres, cases where people are going to die, but it doesn't relate to Misos Beis Din. And that comes toward the end of the Masechta, that we have Misos that are not done Al Yedei Beis Din. So that's the basic outline of the Masechta. It's not really the end of the Masechta, that's the 8th and 9th parak, but that's the basic outline of the Masechta. So there are basic topics that are going to be covered. But again, as we said, in today's daf, it's just a very straightforward Mishnah about how many Dayanim you need for all different types of cases. So says the Mishnah, Dine Mamanus Bishlosha. To deal with Dine Mamanus, you need three Dayanim. The simple reading, the Gemara is going to say in tomorrow's daf, according to one opinion of the Gemara, according to one approach of the Gemara, that Dine Mamanus means Hoda'os Vehalva'os. It means not Gzelos Vechavalos. Today's daf, we have the opinion that says it means Gzelos Vechavalos, but the simpler explanation is that this is a separate category of Hoda'os Vehalva'os that require three Dayanim. Gzelos v'chavalos. Gzelos means someone steals money from somebody else. V'chavalos, or someone is chovel b'chavero, where you have to pay a variety of payments that are mentioned in the Torah. Nezek, tzar, ripoy, shevis, and boshas, we learned about in Maseches Baba Kama. That also is b'shlosha, that you also need three dayanim. The Gemara is going to ask that chavalos are already included in Dine Mamanus b'shlosha. Tosus raises the question, why doesn't the Tana write how many people you need to don a case of kofar of a shor who kills a person? When a shor kills a person, the bal ashar has to pay kofar, or the chiv of shloshim kesef of a shor that kills an eved kanani, or the shein va'ayin that Rashi Avarim, that an eved goes free if you knock out one of the 24 Rashi Avarim that are identified in Kiddushin Daf Chav Dalid. So how come, meaning we're going to have like dozens of different types of cases where we're going to talk about how many dayanim you need for all these different types of cases? Those are cases. How come those aren't mentioned over here? So Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that's all included in Chavalos. That Chavalos includes a shor that kills a person. Chavalos includes a shor that kills an Eved. Chavalos includes Yitzias HaEved Barashe Evarim. So Chavalos is a much broader category than just a guy going over to another guy and punching him in the face. Right? It includes a lot of different things. So all of these cases require Shlosha, require three Dayanim. In addition to that, Nezek v'chati nezek, tashlumi kefal v'tashlumi arba v'chamisha is b'shlosha. Nezek means if either a shor amuad damages somebody, or it could mean a person who damages somebody else. The Gemara is going to ask on tomorrow's daf that nezek seems to be already included in chavalos, because one of the chiyuvei chovel is nezek. We just said nezek tzari b'shev z'boshes. So the first one is nezek. So why do we have to repeat that? Okay, the Gemara will talk about it. Chatzi nezek is when a shor tam does damage. A shor tam only pays chatzi nezek. Tashlumi kefel is when a ganav steals. He has to pay kefel. Tashlumi arba v'chamisha, if he steals a shor or a seh, and he shechts it or he sells it. The Torah says, ki yignov yish shor oseh v'tvacho mecharo, chamisha bakar yishalim tachas ha-shor v'arba tzon tachas ha-seh. So we know you got to pay dalit or hey, four or five times the amount. So all of that is with three dayanim. Ha'ones, if a man is, Rachman Tzalan is ma'anis a besula, v'amefate, or if he seduces a besula, where the halacha is that you have to pay chamishim kesef, also a pasuk in the Torah, it's mefurish in the Torah, that's chamishim kesef that one has to pay, v'amotzi shemra, or a man who says about his wife that she was mezana between the time that they had erisin and the time that they had nisuin, and it turned out that he lied, where the halacha is that he pays mea kesef. So that's the way Rashi learns over here, that motzi means that he has to pay Mea Kesef, if it turns out that he lied, and it means that he pays, that the father is the one that's Toveya the Baal for that Mea Kesef. Rashi and Dav Chesam Beis says that that's not what it means. It means the Taina of the Baal who's trying to make her lose a Ksuba. Not that he lied, meaning the actual Motzi Shemra. When a husband comes to Beis Din and he says that my wife cheated on me in between Erisin and Nisuin, and therefore she does not deserve a Ksuba, so that's the case that the Mishnah is talking about. That's the Motzi Shemra, not the next step that if we found him to be lying and now he owes Mea Kesef, that it's that initial step. Tosos on Daf Chesed and Beis is going to ask on Rashi's pshat over there and say that Rashi was really correct the first time, that he got it right in the Mishnah, that it's about the Mea Kesef of a person who lied when he was Motzi Shemra, and it's not about the initial Motzi Shemra. Paras Yosef raises the question that L'chora, the Tana should have split Motzi Shemra from Onus and Mefata, because there's a machlokas between Rameir and the Chachamim about Motzi Shemra. We're about to see that when Motzi Shemra is b'shlosha divra meir, and then the next line is v'chamim motzi shemra b'asim b'shlosha b'nei sheish b'din nefashos, that motzi shemra is b'asim b'shlosha because there are din nefashos that are involved in motzi shemra. The chama only disagree about motzi shemra; they agree about ones and mafata. And yet, you know, we do split things in the Mishnah. We said din mamas b'shlosha, k'zeros chavals b'shlosha, nezek chazi nezek tashlum mekevel tashlum yavav chamisha b'shlosha. Right? Those are all separate sentences. And now we have ones and mafata via motzi shemra. It shouldn't have been that. It should have been honest from Fata B'Shlosha. And then, Motzi Shemra is a machlokas. The Rameir says B'Shlosha, the Chum say, is B'Chav Gimel. But it doesn't split it. So why is it that it doesn't split it, that it includes all, that it incorporates all of them in the same sentence in the Mishnah? So the Paras Yosef explains that just like the there's no Chi of Malkus when it comes to the claims of Onus and Mufata, who are did by Motzi Shemra, we're talking about only on the monetary case. But to be Mechayev and Malkus, you're taku going to need a Beis Din of Chav Gimel. Meaning when Rameir says it's B'Shlosha, it doesn't mean you're going to cover every detail of the case with Shlosha. The monetary element of the case you'll cover with Shlosha. In fact, that was the reason the Chum disagreed, because there are other elements over here that Motzi Shemra is Be'asim B'Shlosha, because there's Yesh Bo Dinei Nefashos, and Arusu's Mezanes Chayev Skila, and you need a Beis Din of Chav Gimel to implement that. So okay, Malkus b'shlosha, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru be'esrim b'shlosha. The Chiv Malkus that a person gets is b'shlosha with three dayanim, but Rabbi Shmuel says that it's dafka be'esrim b'shlosha. You need 23 dayanim, and the Gemara is going to explain on Daf Yud what exactly the nekudas hamachlokas is, what the basis of the machlokas is between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shmuel, whether you need three or you need 23. Now, whether you can give Malkus nowadays, meaning most of the things that are Bishlosha, not all of them, but some of the things that are Bishlosha, we still do nowadays. So can you give Malkus nowadays? Are we precluded somehow from giving Malkus nowadays? So the Rambam Paskins in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Zayin, Halacha Beis, that were Malkin B'Zman Hazeh, B'Kol Malkum Min HaTorah, B'Fnei Shlosha, Smuchin. Yes, you only need shlosha, but there's a qualification that's critical, and that is that those shlosha need to have smicha. If they're adiotos, then you cannot give malchus. So in Hakdama to Perisha Mishnah, the Rambam writes that the reason that Maseches Malkus comes right next to Maseches Sanhedrin is because people cannot give malchus unless they are qualified members of a Sanhedrin. The pilu hashofet v'yikol l'fan of kidei rishaso, the Torah says that it's got to be an actual qualified shofet. Milchas Chinuch says that whenever it says shofet in the Torah, that means a samuch, that means someone who has smicha. So that was the first step of the critical machlokas between the Mari Beirav and the Maral Bach. The Mari Beirav writes in a tshuva that there was a whole group of Jews in Tzfat that were anusim from Yotzei Svarad that had violated a variety of Isure Krisos while they were in Spain, and now they had escaped and they had been thrown out, and they ended up in Tzfat, and since they knew the halacha that anyone who's chayiv kares, it could be pater mikrisasan al yidei malkus, so they knew that their fate was to either suffer chayiv kares, which is really, really bad, and they were Bali Amuna to believe that it was actually going to happen, meaning they believed that it was Kodesh Baruch Hu was going to carry that out, the Chiyuv Kares, but they knew that anyone who's Chayiv Kares, if you get Malkus, you're Niftiru Mikri Sasan, you get off the hook from the Kares. So they wanted to be Mechaper for their sins by getting Malkus, but you need three Smuchin to get Malkus. So the Mari Beirav wanted to be Mechadesh Smicha, he wanted to incorporate Smicha anew so that they can give these people Malkios so that they could sleep easy at night. I mean, the first few nights will be hard to sleep, but after that, they'll be able to sleep easy at night because they will have achieved their kapara. And it was based on what the Rambam writes, both in Hilchas Sanhedrin Perek Dalet, as well as in the Pirush HaMishnayis here in Mesach Sanhedrin, that in order to be Mesachin Smicha B'zman Hazeh, it is possible, meaning normally in order to give Smicha, you need to have a Samuch, and we're out of those. We don't have anyone who has Smicha. The program we have in Yeshiva called the Smicha program, that's not really Smicha, that's Hetero Ra'a. That's entirely different. That's Yara Yara. That just tells people that they can paskan halachos. But the actual smicha that you need ishmi pi ishmi Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's a chiddush to say that we could do it nowadays. We don't have any musmachim. So how can we give smicha? So the Rambam says, well, what's the game plan? Eventually, we're going to need to build the Beis Hamikdash before Tchiyas HaMeisim, and you need smucha to do that. You need a Sanhedrin for the ear, the Azaros, for all these things to be makdash all these places. So there's got to be some sort of game plan over here in how we're going to re-implement the smicha. So the Rambam says it must be that if Kol Chachmei Yisrael get together and agree that they want to give smicha, that they can, all Chachmei Yisrael can get together and decide that a person will have smicha, and then you can continue from there. Then you have a samuch, and then you could just go as, according to the original plan of one person giving the next person smicha. So that's what he suggested that they wanted to do, to implement smicha so that they could start giving malkios. The Maral Bach disagreed with Mari Beirav for a bunch of reasons. In order to give malkios, in order to pater people from kares, Maral Bach writes, you cannot give malkios to someone who's chayiv kares unless he had hasra'a with Aiden before he did the aveira. That someone tells him, listen, if you go and you do this aveira, you're going to get malkios. And he says, aval pikein, and he goes and he does the aveira. Someone who's an anus that never got hasra'a, the anus esvarad, who never got hasra'a before their avera at all, and they themselves are deciding to do tshuva years later, are not chayv malkus min haTorah. So therefore, if you go and you give them malkus, you are stam assaulting another Jew. You're not allowed to do that, right? Meaning that is only when there's an actual chayv malkus. So that was his most fundamental argument. Mari Beirav wrote a second kuntros where he says that which Maral Bach writes that according to the Rabbanei Tzfat, the entire purpose of smicha was only mitzad the malkus, and he says the Maral Bach brought many rayas that it's not shayich malkus to araisa b'zman hazeh, and he brings many rayas that we don't have the ability to give malkus, and he holds that the entire yisod of smicha is no longer there because nispatal yisod is a nispatal abinyan, meaning the whole purpose of the smicha is for the malkus, and if there's not going to be an ability to give malkus, what's the point of the smicha? So he says, no, that's not the only reason we want to give smicha. He says, because in the ksava smicha, it says, beferish, that the ikr that they got together for is to find someone who's able to be dan dine knasos, that nafla teres roshenu, cholo laretz gazrenu, ve'ein od navi morat tzedek, ve'ein anachnu dan dine knasos, mulchiach l'rosh mumo. So he says that the union of smicha is not only to give malkus, it's also for dine knasos. So even if I were to accept your argument that it's not going to work for Dina Malkus, maybe that was the impetus that the Gerushei Svarad were the ones who said we want to do Malkus. That was the impetus, but really, really, what we want is to have smicha, and to have smicha will allow us to do dinei knasos. So there is a discussion in the Rishonim whether malchus can apply when there is no Beis HaMikdash, and for that matter whether malchus can apply in chutz la'aretz, if even if you did have a basin of smuchin, or maybe even a basin of smuchin is not able to implement it. So the Sefer Achinuch writes that this mitzvah of malchus, the mitzvah tafkuf tzadi dalid, is no heges pe eretz Yisrael when there's a based in samuch. So he holds that it's dafkin eretz Yisrael, and chutz la'aretz it doesn't happen. The smag holds that it's only bisman shah sanhedrin noig, meaning bisman abayis. When there's no base of migdash, there is no sanhedrin, mela, there is no malchus. So this was a huge huge to do. They did implement it. They did give smicha for a couple of generations. The Al-Sheikh, the Beis Yosef, others in that generation in Tzfat had smicha, and then it died out after a few generations. They stopped with the smicha. But anyway, so that's a Malkus B'Shlosha. It's a lot more than Malkus B'Shlosha. Malkus B'Shlosha, Rabbi Shmuel says, is Be'esr B'Shlosha. Ibra Chodesh B'Shlosha, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, a mitzvah min HaTorah, to be Mekadesh HaChodesh, that Beis Yosef should be Mekadesh HaChodesh, only requires three Dayanim. Ibra Shana B'Shlosha, Divra Meir. Rameir holds to be Ma'ber Hashana, to add an extra month onto a year, which is also a mitzvah min HaTorah. The mitzvah min HaTorah of Ibra Shana is to cheshbin out the solar calendar, the tkufos, the seasons of the year, and make sure they fit into the lunar calendar that we set our Yom Tovim according to. Because the Torah says, V'shamarta sachuka azos l'moada miyamim yamima, and it says, Shemaris chodesh ha'aviv. So the Chag HaPesach is supposed to be in Aviv, in the tkufa of the springtime. So we have to make sure that it lines up, and Chag HaSukkos has to be Bizman HaSif. So we have to make sure it lines up. So how do we make sure it lines up? There are 11 fewer days in the lunar year than there are in a solar year. So every once in a while, we add a second Chodesh Adar. We add a Min HaTorah. It's not Adar. Adar, those names came later. But we add a 13th month into the year. So that's Ibra Shadah's B'Shlosha Divrei Meir. Shem Gamliel Omer B'Shlosha Maschilin. We begin to be Moshev the Beis Din to see whether we should be Ma'abra D'Shana with only three judges. And when most of them hold, when the majority holds that yes, this is something we need to look into, so B'chamisha Nosim V'Nosim, we add another two judges, and then we have the discussions whether to indeed do it, and then V'gomer B'Shiva, and then we finally come to the decision with seven judges, V'im Gomru B'Shloshim U'Beres. But if you do the whole thing with only three judges, that would still work, it would still be U'Beres. Smichas Zekenim, so this is the discussion what exactly this means, but Pashto says it means on the Parhelim Dover Shel Tzibur, that if a halacha was forgotten by the Sanhedrin and they made a mistake in Pesach in something that relates to an Isser Kares and they said that it's Mutter, and then the Tzibur followed that Pesach, so they have to bring this Par as a Chatos to be Mechapra on the Tzibur. It's called the Parhelim Dover Shel Tzibur, and before they do the Shechita, the Ziknei Eda lean on the head of the Par in the Beis HaMikdash, so you need three Zikenim to lean on the head of the Par. So that's Smicha Zikenim Va'arif HaSegla, the din of doing Egla Arufa, the measuring of the distance between the dead body that was found in between two cities to the surrounding cities, to know which city is closest to it, in order that they should bring an Egla Arufa. That's also B'Shlosha, Divrei Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yudomer B'Chamisha. Rabbi Yudomer says, no, that happens with five Zekenim. HaChalitza V'Meyonin B'Shlosha. Chalitza, when a man dies without any children, and with a brother, and the brother doesn't want to do Yibum, so they have to do Chalitza or Meyunin. If a Katana was married off by her brother or her mother because her father was no longer alive, and she decides she does not want to stay in the marriage, so she does what's called Meyun, that also B'Shlosha, that also requires three Dayanim. Now the Mishnah is going to turn to making certain monetary assessments in order to be Poda things, Minatora, to figure out the value of things. So Netaravai, if you're Mechalal Peros of Netaravai, meaning you have Netaravai, which has a din like Meiser Sheni, that you have to bring it all to Yerushalayim and eat it there, but you don't want to do that, you want to exchange it for money, so you can bring the money to Yerushalayim and spend the money on food there, so you have to figure out exactly how much this Netaravai is worth. Or Meiser Sheni, Shein Dam of Yiduin, or Meiser Sheni, where you don't know the value of the money, so the value of the food, so in order to evaluate it, the monetary value of that food, you need to assess it, B'Shlosha, and you need three Dayanim to figure out that assessment. The Gemara is going to discuss what do rabbis know about money. The Gemara is going to say that it has to be people who are in the market who know what things are supposed to cost, right? So it's the rabbis who do the grocery shopping who know exactly what their wives are working in Manhattan. They have to so they're the local rabbis. They're the ones that are doing the grocery shopping. I was that for many, many years. So they knew what things cost. Now I have no idea what things cost. I just know that they're more. But so that you need people who know exactly what things cost in order to be able to do that, in order to make these assessments. Hakdeshos, if someone's going to be poda something from Hagdish, also Bishlosha, you need three Dayanim in order to assess the value. Harachna metatul Bishlosha, the Arachna, when a person says, commits an Erech of something, so that's also going to be Bishlosha. Meaning, a person said, the Bartanu says, a person says Erki Alai, where he has to give the set amount in the Torah based on how old he is and based on his or her gender, and he doesn't have the money to give, and the Kohen has to collect metaltalin from him in lieu of money. So now I need to know, meaning I know exactly how much money he's supposed to give. That's a pasuk in the Torah, but he doesn't have cash. So we're going to have to figure out how much his items are worth that we're going to collect for the erech payment. So that you need three dayanim for. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Echad Mehem Kohen. Rabbi Yehuda says one of those dayanim has to be a Kohen, because a Kohen is mentioned in the parsha of Pidyon Metaltalin. It says V'herech HaKohen Asa Bein Tov Bein Ra Kerch HaKohen Ken Yiyeh. So since a Kohen is mentioned, so one of these the Dayanim need to be a Kohen. Vakarkaos, if a person wants to be poda karka from Hegdish, so tish of a Kohen, you need nine people plus the tenth has to be a Kohen. Va'adam kayotziben, and someone who wants to be poda himself from Hegdish also requires 10 people to make the assessment, just like when it comes to karka. So the Gemara is going to discuss, what do you mean Adam Keotzeben? How does a person ever makdish himself? That's not a thing that you could do, to be makdish yourself to Hagdish. So the Gemara will discuss that. Dinei nefashos pasim shlosha. When it comes to being mechayiv misas beizdin, you need 23 dayanim. Haroveya, if the vahanirva, if a shor was roveya, a woman, or was bavel a woman, or a behema was a nirva that was a shor that was that a man had a bia with. The halach is those animals get misa. So best. You need 23 dayanim for that. Shenemar, because when it talks about a behema that's roveya or a nirva, it says va'arakta esi isha ve'es ha-behema, that you kill both the woman and the behema. So we darshan that just like the isha needs a sanhedrin of 23 judges, so does the behema to carry out this misa. Ve'omer, and the pasuk says by a nirva that ve'es ha-behema tarogu. So again, the din of the behema to a din of an adam, that we link the two. They both require esim. Shara Niskal, if a Shara is going to get skila because it killed a person, it gored a person and killed a person, so Ba'asr Mishlosha, also going to be 23 Dayanim. Shenamar, Hashar Yisakel, Gam Balav Yumas, Kemisas Bailim, Kach Misas Hashar, just like a Bailim, the Bailim is a human being, if they would be Chayiv Misa, you would need 23 Dayanim, so too the Shara requires 23 Dayanim. And it's not only a Shara, Hazae, Vahri, Vahdo, Vahnamer, Vahbardulas, all different types of wild animals, Vahnachash, or a snake, they also are going to be chayiv misa with 23 dayanim, because it's echad shar, it's echad kol behema. It doesn't only have to be a shar. So that's also going to be 23 dayanim. Rabbi Lazar says that you don't have to bring these animals to Bezin at all. Rather, kolakodim lahar gonzacha, that if you see an animal that kills somebody, just kill the animal. Rabbi Akiva omer misasim basim v'shlosha. Rabbi Akiva says that the Ze'ev Ari Dov Namar Bardulis, the Misa is Be'esim Shlosha, and in Nachash he's Moda to Rabbi Eliezer, that you could just kill it, that you don't need to wait for Esim Shlosha. Ain't done in Lois Hashavet, Velois Navi Hashaker, Velois Kohen Gadol, El Pibezin Shoshim Vechas. So now the Mishnah goes into the final category. Is it not enough to have three, not even enough to have 23? When do you need the Sanhedrin Gadol? So if one of the Shvatim, where the Bnei Hashavet violated Avodah Zarah, Bimezin, or if Rova of the Shevet did the Avera, and the Marshal says that, we're leaving out the Marshal. So when we don the Shevet, or Navi Sheker, someone who's Minavi B'Shem Hashem, something that was not true, something that Hashem never said. So the halach is Yischayev Chenek, and the Kohen Gadol, when it comes to any din in nefashos matter that relates to a Kohen Gadol, by virtue of his office, of his position as a Kohen Gadol, you need Shivim Ve'echad. You need 71 Dayanim. Ve'in motzil l'melchemes harashus, el al pi bezin Shivim Ve'echad. We only go out to a melchemes harashus. Melchemes harashus is a melchema that is not a melchemes mitzvah. Every melchema is a melchemes rashus. Rashi writes, except for the Melchemes of Yeshua Bizman Kibush Haaretz, the Rambam adds Melchemes HaMalik as well. We assume that any Melchemes HaRashus means that they have to ask Rishus from the Urim Vetumim. So meaning it's a totally it's a war to expand Eretz Yisrael just dumb because it's time for expansion. Milchemes Rishus. So that's something that has to be weighed very, very carefully. So you need the Sanhedrin Shalshim Vechad to go out to such a war. Everything else is Milchemes Mitzvah. Shefter points out in his Sefer in Bikvei Hatzon that any Milchemah that Umos Ha'olam are allowed to fight, would be allowed by international law to fight, is automatically a Milchemes Mitzvah, because the Jewish equivalent would be a Milchemes Mitzvah. Meaning if we would have such a war, it would be a Milchemes Mitzvah, because there's no concept of Milchemes Rishus by the Umos Ha'olam. There is no Rishus from a Sanhedrin, from Urim Vetumim, from anything like that. So that would automatically default to a Milchemes Mitzvah. So he wrote the piece a long time ago, but he said if the Russians were to threaten Washington and they were to say that look, we're not interested in fighting with you, just please give us Washington D.C. and then we'll take it over and that we won't fight a war. So certainly the United States would have every right to defend Washington D.C. and would be allowed to go to war about that, even though the Russians would be claiming we're interested in peace, we just want you out of here. That we'd be allowed to defend our homeland. That would qualify as a milchama that Umos Ha'olam are allowed to fight. Memela, it's a milchama's mitzvah when the Jewish state fights such a war where the Arabs say, no, we love the Jews, we just don't want them here. So that would be a milchama's mitzvah. And any defensive war is obviously a milchama's mitzvah as well. Ein mosifin ali irval zaros alpi bezin shalshim ve'echad. We can only be mosif onto the city of Yerushalayim or onto the Azaros of the Beis HaMikdash when you have 71 Dayanim. The Kedusha of Yerushalayim is greater than the Kedusha of the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and the Azaros have greater Kedusha than the rest of Kedushas Yerushalayim. Kedusha Yerushalayim actually has a double Kedusha, right? Kedusha Yerushalayim, Rav Salvechik pointed out, has a din of its own din of Kedushas Yerushalayim, but it also has an elevated level of Kedusha as an extension of Kedushas HaMikdash. That Kedushas HaMikdash extends in smaller degrees, extends outward. So as you get to Yerushalayim from the Mikdash, so that's also it has a dinim of Kedushas HaMikdash. Maduyik that way in a variety of Rambams that we're not going to get into right now. It's even maduyik that way perhaps in Shmona Esrei. Right? There's a discussion. Why do we still call it Shmona Esrei? There are 19 brachos in it. So the pashtus is it's called Shmona Esrei because before they instituted the bracha of Olam Alshinim, it was 18. So the name just stuck. But some suggest that no, Yerushalayim Yerchan and Tzemach David are the same bracha, because Yerushalayim is the place of it's the capital city where the Malchus Beis David is supposed to sit. It's only supposed to be the capital city when there is a Malchus Beis David, but it's a capital city where the Malchus Beis David is supposed to sit. So there's that connection between Es Tzemach and Yerushalayim, that it's really one bracha. That's why we mentioned Malchus Beis David in Yerushalayim Ircha. Okay. But anyway, so you need a Beis Shalshim Ve'echad. Einos in such Sanhedroyos L'Shvatim LLP Beis Shalshim Ve'echad. To set up a Sanhedrin for each Shevet, you need Beis Shalshim Ve'echad. Einos in Yeridachas LLP Beis Shalshim Ve'echad. To make an Yeridachas where the majority violated Avodah Zarah, you need a Sanhedrin Shalshim Ve'echad. Einos in Yeridachas Basfar. You don't make an Yeridachas on a border town. V'lo Shalosh. And you don't make three cities into an Yeridachas. V'lo Sin Achas O'Shtayim. But we can make one or two Yeridachas. Even though it might be something that never ever happened. Sanhedrin Gedolah Hayis Shalshim Ve'echad U'Ketan Shalasim Shalosha. The big Sanhedrin is 71 judges. Sanhedrin Ketan have 23 judges. Minayin LeGedolah Hayis Shalshim Ve'echad. How do I know 71? Shenemar, because the pasuk says Esfali Shivim Ish Mi Ziknei Yisrael U'Moshal Gabayin. That Moshe was supposed to gather 70 additional judges in addition to himself. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shivim. Rabbi Yehuda says no, it's a total of 70, not 71. U'Minayin LeKetan Hayis Shalasim Shalosha. How do I know Sanhedrin Ketan 23 judges. Shenemar, because the pasuk says about a rotzeach v'shaftu eida v'hitzilu eida. So we see that there on that same base, then there is a full eida that is being shofet, that's voting to be mechayev the guy, and a full eida that's voting to acquit the guy. So eida shofetas v'eida matzelas harekan esrim. An eida always means 10. So if you have 10 voting to acquit, 10 voting to convict, that's a minimum of 20. Uminayin le'eida shi'asara. How do I know an eida means 10? Shenemar, because the pasuk says about the meraglim. Ad Masai Le'ida Hara Azos, Yasu Yeshua V'Kalev. Yeshua and Kalev were did not violate the sin of the Meraglim, so there were 10 that did, and they're called the Eida Hara'a. Uminayin Lavi Yod Shloshes, that only tells me 20 judges. How do I know 23? So Bimash Meshenemer L'Siach Ram L'Ra'os Shomen Yishe'ayimayim L'Tova. From the fact that it says you don't follow don't follow the Rov Dayan to be Mechayiv, someone who's Chayiv Misa, so I see that we do follow the majority to acquit somebody. Simkein Lamanomer Acharem L'Hatos. Why does the Pasuk have to then say that we follow the Rov? So when it says that we don't follow the Rov L'Ra'os, it means Lo Katiyaschol L'Tova Atiyaschol L'Ra'a, that the vote needed in order to convict a person of a capital crime is a stronger vote than the vote that's needed to acquit. Hatiyaschol L'Tova Al Pi Echad, when the vote to acquit a person, it could be a one-person majority. Hatiyaschol L'Ra'a Al Pi Shnayim, you need at least a two-person majority in order to convict. So you can have an Eda Shofetes, an Eda Matzelas, 10 voting in each way, and then you still need a two-person majority. How could you have a two-person majority? It must be a 12 to 10 vote. So that means that you have at least 22 judges. But you can't have a basin with 22 judges, because then you could end in a stalemate of an 11 to 11 vote. Vein basin shakl mosifin alei morech harerikan esrim b'shlosha. So since you can't have an even number of dayanim on a basin, so we add an extra dayan, and that's where we get to 23 dayanim. V'kamiyei b'irvitei ru'iyah l'sanhedrin. How many people need to reside in the city in order for that city to warrant its own sanhedrin? Me'yav esrim 120. Rabbi Nechemiah omer masayim u'shloshim 230 keneged sari asaros. Each of the dayanim have to be at least in charge of a ratio of a dayan for every 10 people, so that it's sarei asaros. So frak the gemara now. We finish the mishnah. Atu gzeilus v'chaval zavdi nimamnus nenu. Going back to that very first line in the mishnah, it says that dinimamnus are b'shlosha. Then it says and gzeilus v'chavalus are also b'shlosha. Isn't that just an example of dinimamnus? So today we're only going to have one opinion in how to deal with this. So Amar Rabbi Yavo mahin katani. The mishnah is saying that dinimamnus is this broad category, and then we get into the specifics. Specifically, gzeilus v'chavalus. Mahin dinimamnus gzeilus v'chavalus. Aval hoda'os v'alva'os. If someone's taveya somebody else al piyedim that they heard that he was moda to him that he owed him money, or alva'os someone's taveya al piyedim that he saw that edim saw that this person lent the other person money, and in both cases the lover denies it. So lo, that's not mentioned in our mishnah at all. Utsricha, and the mishnah has to say both dinimamnus and to explain that it means gzeilus v'chavalus. De'itana dinimamnus had the mishnah only said dinimamnus b'shlosha. I would have thought Odos Valvos are also included because they're also Dine Mominus. So that's why the Mishnah had to specifically say Tan Gzeilus V'Chavalos. It had to say Gzeilus V'Chavalos. V'Tan Gzeilus V'Chavalos, had it only said Gzeilus V'Chavalos B'Shosh V'Loketani Dine Mominus, and it didn't say Dine Mominus, Hav Mina Hu Adin Dafilu Odos Valvos, I would have thought that Odos Valvos are also included. Vaidiktani Gzeilus V'Chavalos, and the fact that it said Gzeilus V'Chavalos is not to exclude Odos Valvos, but Mishum De'ikr Shlosha T'Ksivi, the Makar in the Psukim where it says Dinamamus B'Shlosha is B'Gzeilus V'Chavalos K'Sivi, is in the Parsha that deals with Gzeilus V'Chavalos. So really, all the Mishnah was trying to do is to tell me that the category of Dinamamus as B'Shlosha is really only Gzeilus V'Chavalos. Where does it say Gzeilus V'Chavalos need three? Gzeilus T'Ksivi. So it says three times Elohim. So we learn that it means three dayanim. Chavalos also mali chaval begufo, mali chaval b'mamono. Why would it make a difference whether you physically assault the person or whether you monetarily assault the person? So Tana ma'in dine mamnus gzeilus v'chavalos aval ados v'avalos lo. And that's why the Tana tells me that dine mamnus includes gzeilus v'chavalos, but it does not include odaos and alvaos. Well, amai. So says Gemara, okay, wow, we just made a big deal about hodos valvos is not being discussed in our Mishnah. So the question is, why not? Meaning hodos valvos, l'chara also needs three dayanim. Say, ilema, if you want to tell me, no, it's lo bin and shlosha. Hodos valvos maybe don't require three dayanim. But that's not true. V'amar Rabbi Avo himself taught us that shnayim shadanu dinim amnus, if you have two dayanim that try to adjudicate a case of dinim amnus, l'divrei kol ein dinayim din. Even those who hold that pshara does not require shlosha, but everyone's going to agree that to adjudicate the dinim amnus, with two dayanim, it does not work. The psak is not mechayev anybody. You need three dayanim. So what are we excluding odos v'avos from? No, what it's telling us is that for odos v'avos, you don't need dayanim that have smicha, ish mi pi ish, and Moshe Rabbeinu, and have Kabbalah from the Kabbalah's Rishus from the Nasi to be done. That's what you don't require. But for gzelus v'chavalos, you taka do require a bezdin of smuchin. So the Gemara is Gemara is now going to take a next step in that conversation, which ultimately is going to lead us into a second way of understanding our Mishnah. But that's at least the first way of understanding the Mishnah. We'll pick up with that tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day.